Guns fall relatively silent in eastern Ukraine amid a flurry of diplomatic activity. Is it just a lull, or is the end near in Donbass? Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast here at RFERL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is RFERL's senior editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian. Thanks.
So what do we have here? Well, first, we get a ceasefire declared on September 1st in Donbass, and it's more or less held for 2 weeks. There's been a leadership change in the Donetsk People's Republic, suggesting possibly a more pragmatic leadership there. The foreign ministers of Russia, Ukraine, France, and Germany met over the weekend, and Vladimir Putin, Petro Poroshenko, Francois Hollande, and Angela Merkel are due to meet on October 2nd. What are you seeing, Steve? Is the end near here? What's going on here?
Well, I think it would be wrong to say the end is near, because I think this conflict and the situation is going to remain for a long time and well past the deadline of the end of the year for the Minsk agreements. And I think one thing that's happening here is Putin has been paying a lot of attention to Syria. He's getting ready for his trip to the UN General Assembly. And I think Putin, and this probably has something to do with the change of leadership in Donetsk, Putin can't afford to have Russia looking like a troublemaker any more than it is at this time when he's going to the UN to try to present Russia as kind of a peacemaker or a
constructive
country.
Partner in Syria, perhaps.
Exactly, constructive partner on Syria. So he wants to look constructive all over the place.
Although he might want to stop arming Assad if he wants to look constructive.
Well, right. Exactly. But I guess, one out of two ain't bad or something. And I think at this point, Poroshenko also has an interest in maintaining a ceasefire because he also wants to look like he's fulfilling the Minsk agreements.
Do you think this is a lull that it could flare up again, or are we seeing a gradual winding down of things?
One of the big questions is, what is Russia going to do? Because as we've discussed before, Russia isn't getting what it wants in the Donbass. And we have, Lavrov saying that the deadlines of Minsk aren't as important as the spirit of the agreement.
Not sure how to interpret that. That can be interpreted different ways.
That's true. But I think one thing is that it's hard to imagine a scenario under which Russia actually hands Ukraine control of the border by the end of the year. So, Russia may be saying, look, we're doing our best, but this isn't going to happen right away. So I think Russia is essentially playing for time with that kind of a statement, which is what it often does. And the question of but in the end, at some point, Russia is going to need to decide, well, how are we going to go about getting what we want? And is that, by an escalation on the battlefield or some other means?
And along the lines of Russia not getting what it wants, as we know, the DNR and the so-called DNR and LNR, the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, respectively, are supposed to hold internationally supervised elections under Ukrainian law. But yet the rebels have gone ahead and scheduled their own elections, which will, let's just say, not be under Ukrainian law, to put it mildly. This all happens as a new poll came out showing that only 29% in the DNR and LNR, and this is a poll conducted by Russia, a Russian survey group, so it shows that only 29% support Russia in there. There's a lot of supporters of the Ukrainian government, and I was rather surprised by that, and one has to wonder if there is an internationally supervised election under Ukrainian law in these separatist-held areas. The results may not be to Moscow's liking.
Right. But probably, I think you're absolutely right, but probably we're not going to find out, at least it doesn't look like we're going to find out this year, whether, what the results of such an election would be, because, if they're going to go ahead with their own elections. But this may be one of the reasons why Putin is saying that the status of those places will not be decided on the street and why Russia is playing for time, because they don't want this to come out. And I guess one thing you could say, maybe cynical, but it may be in Russia's interest for people in those regions to be in favor more of independence than of joining Russia. Because, again, what Russia still seems to be looking for is using the regions as a lever on Ukraine.
Trojan horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And another thing to bear in mind is that, Ukraine says it will discuss decentralization as far as Donbass goes, the special, the whatever status it's going to have, only after it fully controls that territory, only after the borders. Russia's saying they have to do this decentralization first, and then they get the control back of the territory. That there doesn't seem to be any wiggle room on that, which is more the reason why this is just gonna drag on, but at a lower intensity. No.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things Russia may be hoping for in terms of playing for time is that the West and Europe, there'll be divisions, and the West will tire of sanctions, mm-hmm. so that they may have a hope that sanctions would be eased without them actually implementing. Yeah, implementing and handing control of the border to Ukraine.
One of the things that surprised me was after this weekend's meeting of the foreign ministers of Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France, the very positive statements which were coming out of the Western leaders saying this is the least confrontational meeting we've had yet, and that this bodes well. There's a talk now on removing medium range arms or smaller arms from the area as well as the heavy arms. There was reports in the New York Times and the Financial Times just this morning, reporting on just the positive assessments from the foreign ministers coming out of that meeting. What did you make of that? Is the West getting duped here, or what's happening?
I wouldn't say the West is getting duped, but I think again it's in Russia's interest, in Putin's interest now to look constructive and to drag things out. I don't think the West has these positive statements, yes, but I don't think they've gone beyond the point of no return,
right,
where they will now have to actually give Russia something. So I think that we're still waiting to see what's going to happen and whether the ceasefire will continue to hold. And I don't think we're going to find out any huge developments until possibly after the UN General Assembly.
Mm. All right. Well, this promises to be a long and complicated endgame. On that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast, and joining me has been RFRL senior editor Steve Gutterman. The Power Vertical Briefing will take a 2-week hiatus as I have to hit the road for some work-related travel, but we'll be back on October 2nd. Until then, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.